Welcome to the Jacob's Well podcast. These messages are intended to feed you some great stuff that you can really dig your teeth into all week and beyond. That's why you can find it anytime, along with other great resources and ways to keep the conversation going at jacobs-well.net/leftovers. Enjoy the message.
Well, good morning, Jacob's Well. Happy Easter to all of you. It is great to have you all here. I'm Greg Meyer, and it's great for us all to be here. There's going to be some people handing out these little boxes right now to everybody. Just everybody, please take one, okay? And you'll figure out why sooner or later. One of the things that I really want you to know is that Jacob's Well is a conform-free zone, all right? Of all the things that make us a little different than maybe a lot of other churches, one is that we don't all believe the same thing, all right? In fact, we don't even try to get everybody to all believe the same thing. And if we agree on anything, I think what we agree on is that the diversity of our ideas and our experiences, our insights, our convictions is what some communities might think as a weakness. We see that as a strength. And what we tend to agree on is that these important things about life are things that we need to wrestle with. And when we get too certain about them, then maybe that's a sign of stagnation. So that's not really where we want to go. So if you're interested in questions, not just the answers, welcome. This is a good place to be, and we're glad to have you with us. You know, one of the things, Chris hinted at this too, but one of the things that bugs me about Easter is that we've made it so tidy. I mean, you have all the gruesome stuff of Maundy Thursday and Good Friday, Jesus' arrest and the torturing and then the crucifixion and everything, and then you get a day off. And then you come to Easter morning and it's all bunnies and candy and lilies and unicorns and rainbows, I'm sure are going to be next. At least pastel colors, right? And, you know, and that just doesn't describe life to me. Those things are not that separate from my experience. And the 2,000 years since, you know, this all happened with Jesus, I haven't seen the world get cleaned up that is what it looks like anymore or how we experience it anymore. The cloud's all gone away. You know, so I just think we maybe need to look at that a little bit differently. And I think actually that Easter doesn't want to have life and death push that far apart. I think Easter really does see that more as part of the same thing. And maybe Easter isn't just God swooping in at the last minute to save the day for us, but God is really just showing up. God is just being here with us in the middle of all this stuff, present with us in the hard stuff as well as in the wonderful stuff, being present with us in the complicated as well as in the precious and the simple parts of life that all seem to happen at the same time sometimes. And for God, being with us that way, showing up that way, mattered. And not only doing that, but being that with us really mattered to God. And I think it matters for us too. So we actually did spend the last 4 weeks here with Jacob's Well talking about this whole idea of showing up fully and completely and what that means. And I think of all the things that maybe I kind of took away from talking about showing up that way is that it's really, really hard. I mean, when I actually show up, like when I stand in front of a couple hundred people and talk, I kind of feel like this, like a little exposed, a little bit vulnerable. And this is kind of an uncomfortable place to be out in the world for you, isn't it? Like, here, everybody, look and see what I'm like. That's kind of a scary thing for us to do. In fact, it makes me want to close up. It makes me kind of want to hide myself and protect myself. Maybe kind of a little bit like this box. Did you get a box yet? You know, kind of close everything up like this. Or my demonstration model size one here. Which is the same sort of thing. It has all the same sort of stuff. But I hope, you know, if you notice this box, if you see your box, if you see the word am, then you see the word I, then you see the word am and the I. And if you start reading that, it's I am, I am, I am, I am. And pretty soon you can't tell whether you're saying I am or am I. You're no longer sure whether you're asserting who you are or if you're trying to figure out who you are. It all kind of happens at the same time, doesn't it? It's all part of that same package. And I think that's kind of good. But all that stuff is, you know, that I am stuff, kind of that's where we start feeling a little vulnerable, a little bit scary. But one of the things about this box, as long as it's all closed up like this, I'm kind of safe. But I'm also, everything that's unique about me, everything that makes me me is inside here, inside this box, which makes it kind of utterly replaceable. In fact, right now, trade your box with someone else. All right? Now tell me, how much difference did that make? Like, none, right? Because anything that might be unique about it is in the inside and you never discovered it. I mean, you can trade around, it doesn't matter. But do you really want to be that interchangeable in the world? Do you want to just be another person? I mean, sometimes you don't want to just be anybody, you want to be somebody. And so, you know, that's kind of why we would maybe want to look inside the box. Maybe you're like me and you're kind of curious about what's inside. If you look at what I call the front amp side, you're going to see there's a flap on it, and it's got a little piece of tape. All right, can you find that? Open it up and look inside. And you're going to find, when you open that up, that it says, I am. This is your identity. I would like you to own your box. Own being who you are, okay? So you have a pen, or someone close to you has a pen. When it got in, write your name there. I am Greg. I am whoever you are, all right? I am. Now, as soon as you did that, you claimed this box. Your box now is not interchangeable. It's unique. It's only you. Now, you say, well, there's someone else here with my name. Yeah, that's probably likely. But no one else has your handwriting, right? And you might say, well, that's just my name. I mean, that doesn't really say that much about me. Well, to someone who's never met you, your name maybe doesn't say so much. But to the people who do know you and to yourself, your name represents this amalgam of all the things that make you who you are. And it somehow succinctly, you know, just says that this is what it means to be me. So, you know, that's kind of an important thing. And that's something that is there. Now, if you want to keep following along with me, you've got the top flap open. Open up the front flap right in front of it. Drop it down. You might have a piece of tape you have to tear. What does that one say? My role. This is what you do, right? First one is who you are. This is what you do. This is not only being something, but you actually have to do something as well. This is where the rubber of who you are meets the road of life, the road of what you do. It's where, you know, you're not only a human being, but you find out that commits you to being to a human doing, and you got to do some things with life. And it's good, and this is a lifelong task that all of us have of matching who we are with what we do, aligning those two things together. In fact, the definition of integrity, which I hope would be something all of us aspires to, is matching who you are with what you do. And that's a good thing. It's a hard thing, but it's a good thing. When God showed up in Jesus, you might be wondering how I was going to get around to that kind of stuff. When God showed up in Jesus, however that was, whatever that means, and I think we just know that we really have no idea exactly what that all means or how it happened or exactly what was going on there. But when God showed up in Jesus, it had something, we know the I am had something to do with love, and the role had something to do with helping us to live fully. And so there was a time, and we heard a reading from that just a little bit ago, there was a time when Jesus was in that garden the day before he was going to die where he was faced with, well, is who I am really going to make me do what I think I have to do? And he asked, is there any way that this doesn't have to be my path? And then he looked at who he was and what it looked like he needed to do, and he said, yes, I will do that. Showing up means taking the risk to start cracking open this box. Showing up means taking the risk to start cracking open this box and discovering not only who you are, but starting to make that available to other people. That's important. So with your box, I don't know if you did what I did, but when you opened it up and we looked at I am, and we didn't talk about it, but you probably noticed what was written down in the bottom. Kind of doubt down deep underneath everything else is my fear. Our fears never lie too far below the surface. They're there. They impact almost everything that we do. And, you know, they make us worry. They make us wonder what's really going on. They are part of us. I mean, we have to face that, right? They're not going to go away. It would be nice to think that we could make them go away. It'd be nice to be thinking that we could go through life without them, but they're there, and I think we need to realize that and own that. They are part of us. They're part of Jesus, too. I mean, that's why Jesus sat in the garden that night, said, is there any other way for this to happen? I mean, this isn't what I want to be able to have to do. This is scary. But one thing that my fears do for me is that they make me realize these other two parts, and that is my weakness and my strength in my box. And my weakness is kind of one of the things that makes me afraid, right? And my strength is something I say, well, this maybe can drive away my fears, so I want a lot of this, and I would rather have none of this. But I don't know. I'm not sure that really explains how life works. I mean, I really think we need to question should fear be driving the things we do? And is my weakness really my enemy? And is it the problem that I have? Maybe fear isn't the problem. Maybe it's letting fear control me that is a problem. And maybe the key to this is to this fear problem is to realize that my weakness perhaps is a gift to me, just as important as my strength is to me. Yeah. Hi, Heidi. This is Heidi.
Hi. It is, in fact, your weakness that is pretty useless without, your strength, sorry, is pretty useless without your weakness.
Well, see, I think that's maybe pushing a little too far. I'm not sure I quite buy that.
Well, that's because you think it's your strength that allows you to do things, and it's your weakness that keeps you or makes you unable to do things. Well,
okay,
but I think actually that it's your weakness that maybe sometimes you can only use, and it's your strength kind of gets in the way.
Okay, that's an alternative fact.
Well, I bet you'd like us to demonstrate that, right?
Yeah, right.
Okay,
go ahead.
Well, good thing, because I brought along some eggs here, and which I thought was great because it is Easter, and well, they're very pretty, right? And decorated and lovely. But my eggs are different because my eggs are raw. And that makes them fragile and that makes them vulnerable. They're sources of life, kind of like us, kind of like these boxes that we've been working with today, right?
Yeah.
So I have a job for you to do with this egg. So I'm going to have you take that egg, and I want you to stand over there.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to come over here. All right. So now, we're going to get out of the way a little bit. All right. So now, I want you to take that egg, and I want you to throw it as hard as you can at this target. Now, you might notice that this is actually, what?
Nice, hard, strong surface.
It's
strong.
You like strong, and strong is good, and invulnerable is good, right? Right. All right, so well, let's see how this works out.
Are you really going
to
throw this?
I want you to go ahead and throw it as hard as you can right at that target.
It's raw?
It is raw. Well, that was pretty predictable, right? I mean, it broke, it smashed. And, well, it made a mess, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but we're going to do this again. All right, let's get this out of the way.
A little more mess than I thought.
All right, so we're going to do this again. And I want you to take this egg, also raw. But this time, we have a different target. And this isn't nice and strong. This is flimsy and weak, right?
That's
it could
weak
be easily hurt. But we're going to go ahead and see how it works this time. Go ahead. Use the same amount of strength. Don't get weak on us, all right? All right, go ahead. The egg did not break. So it was the weakness of that sheet that was able to receive the source of life and protect it. Right?
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
So both that hard, strong surface and our sheet de-accelerated that egg from about 30 to 40 miles an hour to zero, right? They both did that. But That hard, strong surface destroyed the egg in the process. But the weak one preserved it and kept it whole. So weakness is good, right?
I bet there's a hard-boiled egg.
Okay, I knew you were going to say that. So I want to show you one other thing, okay? Because I think that eggs are a great example of how strength and weakness actually work together. I mean, the egg has to be strong, right? It's going to protect a little chick growing inside. Okay, wait. Disclaimer, there's no chicks inside our eggs. All right? But hypothetically speaking, right? If a little chick was growing in there, it would have to be strong.
Because the hen's going to sit on it, and it's
going
to get...
So I want you to take it, and I want you to hold it at its strongest point, which is end to end. And I want you to just try and squeeze it as hard as you can. Are you able to break it?
I'm not doing it as hard as I can, but I'm doing it really hard.
Yeah.
I'm a little intimidated here.
It actually has to be hard because it is going to protect that growing chick inside. And there's a big hen sitting on top of it, and there's jostling and bumping that happens in the nest. And that little chick has to grow until it's time to hatch. Right?
Yeah, all right. That's right.
So then that little chick, that vulnerable chick that was inside the egg, hasn't even exercised a single muscle, is going to take its tiny little beak and it's going to break out of the shell
and
join life.
So what you're telling me is that if it's too strong, the chick can never get out.
Right. So, grasshopper, there's hope for you yet.
Okay. So this is like the beak of the...
Yeah, all right. Yeah, without hardly any force this time, you're able to break the egg and...
Make
another mess, right. Ew, gross. Well, Greg, I think you made the mess here. All these people saw it, so we're going to let you clean that up this time, all right?
Yeah, and we'll be taking applications for children's ministry director.
What? All right.
But thank you, Heidi. Yep. That's really good.
I will take that for you.
Thank you. Maybe it's power that's important, but power is a marriage between strength and weakness, isn't it? That's maybe a little counterintuitive, but that's kind of, I think, the way God put this world together and how things actually work for us. So I think that's a good thing to know. It's interesting that our weakness is vulnerable. Our weakness is valuable. In fact, it's essential to us. It's a part of us, though, that makes us vulnerable, and no one likes being vulnerable. That's scary. And this is one of the odd things. We've talked about this last couple of weeks, but this vulnerability is something we crave in other people. We look for people who are willing to be themselves, that we can see what's going on inside of them, and they trust themselves with us. That's so attractive to us as individuals, but yet we don't like to give that to other people. We're afraid of being vulnerable to other people. We're afraid of letting other people see what's inside of us because they might not like us if they knew what was really going on inside us, or they might judge us for who we are. So we don't do that. We'd rather be strong and independent and tough and capable and certain. All those rigid things, you know, all those strong things, they seem strong and they seem sturdy, but they don't catch life. They don't catch eggs very well. And we need to be, you know, about people that have life and that going on. So, in fact, I would say, and I think this is an important thing, I think maybe this is what Easter is about, it's telling us that there really can be no love without mutual vulnerability. There can't be any love without that mutual weakness going on. It's when we are our real selves and all that stuff that is typically hidden inside of our box actually gets out and gets open to other people and exposed and it feels scary and vulnerable. That is where love happens. You know, we think that we want to have strength with no vulnerability. We call that invulnerability, and we think that's such a great thing. Think about it. All of our heroes, what do? They exercise invulnerability. I mean, who are the heroes in our world? And the more invulnerable they are, the greater their hero they are, the more we put them up there, until at least in the Marvel universe, they actually do become gods. But what does that tell us about God? If this is true that there is no love without vulnerability, and if God is love, then God must be vulnerable. That's kind of a mind blower. Isn't the picture we have that God is the one invulnerable thing in the universe, all-powerful, all-present, all-knowing, there's nothing you can do to hurt God, but God actually is wanting to be that? Maybe that's why God wants to be with us, not to be the invulnerable hero, the invulnerable warrior that comes in and wipes out the enemies at the last minute, not the detached off on the side of the field, off of the arena cheerleader that is encouraging us and telling us we can do it, but the one that is actually with us and in it and a part of it with us. You know, I think that's what God wants to do, and God wants to do that because God knows that's the only way to love us and the only way to actually be loved by us. So there is one square left that I didn't talk about yet on this. And that is in the center, and that is my hope. Personally, I would like something a little more grand there, like my success or my victory. You know, something a little bit more, what? Yeah, that gave me a little more courage about some of these things. But, you know, I think it's actually the way it needs to be. I think this is what it is. You know, and I don't think we ever are able to make the hardest decisions of our life because we know we have the answer for us. We know that it's all going to work out. Those would not be hard decisions, would they? If you know it's going to work out, there's no choice. You just do it. But the big choices, the big tough things in life, we do because of hope. We think because there's possibility. We think that we've got a glimmer of what could be, and we have an understanding of the world that is bigger than us and that we're involved with other people in. And all that gives us that peek at a different life and a different way and a new possibility. It's fragile and might only be possible. It's vulnerable, but it is full of hope. So, like God starting up this whole show-up business with Jesus, he did it when Jesus was a baby, right? We call that the incarnation, if you're familiar with that term. Incarnation is just a fancy word for showing up. And God chose to show up in the most vulnerable, fragile way in a baby. Babies and children, they have that promise of life and possibility and hope, but the only guarantee a baby has is that they will bring you a combination of joy and heartache. Easter is not a celebration of everything is hunky-dory, okay? I mean, I think we all know that. It is a celebration of being a part of what can be. It is totally about hope. I mean, if Jesus had known that everything was going to come out okay, and all he had to do was suffer for a couple of days, and then everything was going to just be wonderful till the end of time, I don't think either his life or his death would have mattered that much to us. But it does. And I think the fact that the Bible expresses so much confusion, like we just heard from that reading, over what his resurrection was all about and what was actually happening, I think that lets us know that this was not a slam dunk. Even for the people who were living then at that time and saw it happening in front of their eyes, whatever that was like at those times. I mean, I think those people, if they were looking for certainty, I don't think they were finding it. They were struggling with the same doubts, the same questions, the same wondering, the same confusion that we deal with today in trying to figure out if hope is real, even on the other side of all of this tough stuff of life. They were going to have to do then just what we're going to have to do now, which was the same thing that Jesus had to do, and that is show up. Show up, not because of the promise of a reward and because everything is going to be okay, but because that is what it means to be alive. This is how we are a part of what can be. This is how we engage in hope, and hope is a thing that is the middle of all of us that we can live with. And Easter is God's way of telling us, don't give up on hope. Believe in hope.
Well, you make a good point, Greg, but, you know, do you have to make it so boring?
Well, you have more eggs?
Now, it's not about the eggs.
Okay.
It's about the hope. I mean, doesn't it make you want to dance a little bit?
Well, yeah, you know? A little bit, yeah. But,
yeah,
you know.
I don't know. It's one thing to, like, know it and talk about hope, but it's another thing to experience and to feel it.
Yeah, but Heidi, there's all this real stuff in life, too. I mean, are you forgetting all, I mean, just, did you hear the news this morning? I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on out there and a lot of stuff in our lives that are going on.
Well, I haven't forgotten about the hard stuff. In fact, sometimes, even though I'm hoping, I'm feeling like I want to cry.
Yeah.
But, you know, hope isn't really like a thing that we just talk about. We just have to feel it and get into it. And I don't know. It just makes me want to dance.
Yeah? So, I guess what? We're supposed to be happy?
I don't know. You try it.
It's kind of hard.
Oh, my gosh. Wah, wah, wah. Greg, I mean, really. I mean, hope isn't a have to. It's a get to. Come on.
Can the music keep going? That's kind of hard. I'm feeling kind of like this.
All right. We're not going to pretend here. I mean, everybody here came with stuff that's really tough and that's really hard. But hope helps us to, I don't know, be excited about being part of the solution. And hope, I don't know, sometimes you just have to get a little carried away with it.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here, you can take a break. I'm a hot air balloon, go to space. With the air, like I don't care, baby, by the way. Cause I'm happy if you feel.
You know, sometimes you just gotta be happy despite, right? I mean, yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on in life, but I think this hope just says, yeah, we can be happy. And sometimes that happiness is merely like stopping and taking a couple of deep breaths. Sometimes it's just checking your pulse and remembering you're alive. Sometimes it's stepping back from two little children that need the diapers changed at the same time and that have somehow conspired to never sleep or want to eat at the same time. And you just say, wow, they are beautiful children, and I'm going to keep doing this. And our parents, yes. And there are times when you cannot be happy. There are times when you will lose hope. And that is when we can hold on to that happiness. We will hold on to that hope for you. In fact, that's if Jacob's Well is anything, that's what we are. We are a community that cannot give you the answers. We cannot tell you what to do. We cannot fix your problems, but we can show up. And we can be community with you through whatever might be happening. And if you are looking for a place, if you are looking for a people to be that kind of community with you, you are welcome, and we would be honored to be that with you at any time. So in the meantime, take your box with you, and I would invite you to spend some time thinking about what are your strengths and your weaknesses, what are your hopes and your fears, and who are you and what is your role? But a lot of the time, you know, you're not going to be one to spread all out. You're going to make it a box again, but fold it the other way. I would dare you to show up and have your identity be on the outside of your box, not hidden away on the inside, because this world needs you. We need you to show up and to be who you can be in this world.
Thanks for listening. If you found this podcast valuable, please pass it along to others. And we'd love to hear from you, too. You can email us at info@jacobs-well.net or message Jacobs Well Minneapolis on Facebook. We see what we do as a community really making a difference for people. Since you're listening, you probably have too. If you'd like to make a donation to support this work, you can find ways at jacobs-well.net/give. Thanks. Listen again next week or join us in person Sunday mornings at 10:30.